just had to wake up. I see so many people lost who really try to pretend. But am I just another white boy who's caught on to the trend? When I take a step to the mic, is hip-hop closer to the end? Cause when I go to shows, the majority have white skin. They marketed the windmill, the air flare and head spin. And white rappers' albums really get the most spins. The face of hip-hop has changed a lot since Eminem. And if he's taking away black artists' profits, I look just like him. Claim the culture that wasn't mine, the way of the American. Hip-hop is gentrified.
Welcome back, this is Mark Steiner.
And I'm Leah Gilmore.
And our co-hosting gig here.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be back.
And we went back and forth over the weekend about this little conversation.
Yes, we
about
did.
We went
back and forth.
Yes, we did.
Which was excellent.
And then I went back and forth with my daughters, and I went back and forth with this morning on the same conversation with the folks in the blend. And
well, you know what? I had conversations with a couple of people as well, and we neither one of us went back and forth. We were all on the same page.
Well, I think I'm on many pages with this.
You know?
I'm not on just one page. So
yeah, I don't think one page.
There is not one page. DDM is with us.
Hi, guys.
Local
hip-hop artist. Good to have you here in the studio, DDM.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's thrilled to have you.
I'm excited.
I'm not a big... I don't watch a lot of TV.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't watch award shows.
I don't watch award shows very much.
They're painful.
But my producers watch them, and Valerie watches them sometimes, not this one particularly. But I read about it, and I looked at all the clips afterwards.
Yes, I did too.
And, you know, we're talking about the American Music
Awards
that are fans vote on who to vote for, but then... The question I have, which I haven't gotten the answer for yet, who puts up the nominees?
Right. No one knows this.
Who puts up the nominees?
It's the magical people.
That's what I don't know.
It's the magical people who control structural racism and all the other things. Now, and let me, I do have a point of that is true. But it's who gets the ballots? Who are these people? You know, it's we understand the Oscars, how that works. You know, that's like a presidential election. You know, they run. They run to win, you know, and they pay a lot of money in marketing.
A lot of money.
To do so.
A lot of money.
But the Grammys is popularity, and AMAs
and
is
money.
Even more popularity. Well, popularity comes with money.
I mean is that for the Grammys and for, maybe the same with AMA, but for the Grammys and for the Academy Awards, people spend millions of dollars
to
get their name out there
to ensure that
they get the votes.
Yes.
Like in the Oscars, you know, the directors vote and then the actors vote and the
Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah, they all
stuff.
Vote in different parts
Well,
of it.
When you look at the AMA, I mean, even if you're saying we're voted by the people, I mean, we're still looking at, I mean, I know exceptionally talented artists, exceptionally talented, and even mid-level recognizable artists who are not a part of this, who are not a part of the awards season, you know?
Yeah.
It's because of marketing and access and all these kind of things. And for me, particularly with the AMAs, I mean, I think it is a groundbreaking moment on a couple ways. And Mark, you have one way of thinking about it, and I have about, you maybe have one or two, and I have like two, three, or four ways of thinking about the best soul R&B album going to Justin Timberlake, and the best rap album going to Macklemore, and Macklemore now being the face and the talk and the hold up for the LGBT community and for Trayvon Martin. I mean, I think this is just the Elvisizing once more, if that's understandable, of music. I mean, it's going back into the marketing of comfort zones. Black folks, I was talking to this with a close friend, and I hope she calls in.
There's no phones today, by the way.
Oh,
phones
there's no
out.
Phone today. Well, she can't go. Well, I'll just see what she said, but... it's like white kids are the majority of kids who buy hip-hop music, correct?
Correct.
So, white people are in their comfort zone with other white people, even though it's still, co-opting is a big word, co-opting what has been created by African-Americans. That does not mean you cannot sing it, because I'm a singer and I can sing Puccini.
Okay.
But I cannot say that I am the creator or the best singer of Puccini in America, I'd be sure that there's an Italian that can get me, that can cover me. I'm very curious, young man, what is your response as an artist when you hear these things?
I think, first off, I think the way I look at things is very statistically and very logically. Now, on an emotional level, I don't think Macklemore should have got Best Hip Hop Album artistically. But here's the thing, and this I always equated to the Hunger Games because I read that trilogy, and I think that Suzanne Collins did a great job at really writing how the system works.
Yeah, because it's a bigger thing than it's just a bigger thing. Kids killing kids.
The game makers, okay, which are the powers that be in music, the system is crumbling. Music financially is not doing well. It's not a very profitable industry to labels and to the system. So the system says, okay, we need to do some restructuring. And they go by numbers, okay? Now, as a black person, and don't get mad at me for this, but we have to create these things and stick with them. Okay, there are a lot of artists who are really good African-American rappers, but unfortunately, when it's time to go to iTunes and it's time to go to Best Buy, we're not buying it, okay? At the end of the day...
But do you think we're buying Macklemore?
We're not buying Macklemore, but this is the United States. Mm-hmm. This is a commerce country. This is capitalism, and the dollar rules this country. No politician, no nothing. The dollar rules it, and when the dollar says, okay, Macklemore is six million copies sold, it's Katy Perry ain't sold 6 million albums.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because hip-hop is so amazingly popular.
Yeah.
I mean, with white kids who are the majority.
With everybody, the entire world.
Well, yeah, it is with the entire world. And it's become like the blues, how the blues was once the music of protest and the music of life. I mean, we have hip-hop in Palestine.
Yeah.
Hip-hop in, we went to a Dutch hip-hop show. But so there are two things going on. The one thing which is interesting when you talk about commerce, the one thing that was just very interesting and that is different is that a lot of these white artists have black producers.
Yeah.
And that was not like that in the past. So there are black people making money.
Yeah. They're making money.
Go ahead, Didi, and then I'll say what I'm saying.
They're making money, but the thing is this. Also, too, you said hip-hop was protest music. Hip-hop had a very punk rock kind of attitude when it first started. It was very bunk the system, like the punk scene.
I was there when it first started.
Exactly.
That's right.
Now, because so much, sometimes too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. And when a lot of money started being made off of hip-hop, one of the joys, I think, of hip-hop music was the ignorance. And let me explain that. Mm-hmm. The kids that were doing hip-hop didn't know about business. They wasn't worried about, I need to make a radio hit. They just made the music, and if you liked it, you liked it. Now, everybody's so focused on, I can't wear this dress. I can't make this song. Or I got to make this song like Future because that's in the top 20. Why? Because they have sold all of the companies. Bad Boy is not owned by Puffy anymore. He has to go to Interscope
now.
Right.
That's
Fat Farm, Rockaware, all of those companies were sold. They were built and then sold. So now you have no control over your art form.
And even before they were controlled, they were given the money to create those companies.
They were.
And they became the face
built
of those
them,
companies.
And they sold them instead of keeping them. So you can't be mad when, your audience says, because when you talk to young black kids today in America, around 2006, 2007, you started seeing a shift in young black culture. The kids started dressing a little bit more punkier. They started listening to a little bit more alternative music. And you started to see a blend and a meshing, which is great because if we're talking integration of peoples, then that's a great thing that you have black kids that go to Douglas that listen to Third Eye Blind.
Right.
You know,
my son's a metalhead.
Right. You know,
which we discovered the other day.
Yes.
But I think that one of the things here about it struck me about all this, and I think that this is where I was getting into the conversation over the weekend, our email conversation, which has to do with what I see as the complexity of it. And the complexity is that hip hop, which began in the streets of the Bronx and Brooklyn, that began is there mm-hmm. and kind of spread out across America, then spread out across the world. Much like Lamar and Macklemore, they did their own thing. They weren't booked by a label. They put their own stuff out because nobody would take them.
Right.
So they both kind of put their things out there.
Which
you can do, which is how right. they began. And then it became the music of worldwide resistance, of youth resistance around the planet. You know, you can see Tupac's picture of Visage in a small hut in the mountains of Nepal and on some reservation and down in the slums of Bogota, Colombia. I mean, it's become this universal symbol. But
that's all of our indigenous African-American music. It's just following the path of the music that we've created here. I mean, the music since the blues, since gospel, since jazz, now hip-hop, the indigenously created African-American music starts to reach out and become the music of those who have protests.
And some people have written and said that hip-hop, more than any other genre mm-hmm. of music, has like engulfed the world, like no other music has ever engulfed the world. Right. And I think we can be angry. No, let me take that back. We can have an analysis that really critiques what happened at the American Music Awards. And there's a lot. You can make the argument. Maybe we made this one of my producers made it. Other people have made it that, you know, when you put Macklemore up against some others, his music doesn't stand up artistically to other people's right. music. But it's not. Macklemore is not the problem.
No,
Macklemore isn't the problem.
Because Macklemore, but let me say this. Okay. Because Macklemore is a socially conscious performer
right.
who's put out songs like White Privilege and stood up for Trayvon and Zunes that happened. It was out there talking about racism and talking about it to largely white crowds that begin to change people's. So he's where he's coming from, he was created by the system. He didn't create the system.
That's a very good point. Macklemore, Eminem, all these other white rappers
very different
are not, yes, right. Very different.
Different.
Very, very, very different.
Eminem
very
is a complete
different.
Jerk.
Okay. Okay. But let's talk about.
But Eminem represents hip hop more because
yes,
Eminem
does.
Is a rebel. He may be a jerk, but Eminem did not play nice.
Okay.
And Eminem is here because he was really good. 10
now,
years
Eminem
ago.
Eminem is good.
Yeah.
But White Privilege does this. White Privilege puts Eminem on the cover of Time and says, Eminem saves rap music.
That was insane.
Okay, absolutely insane.
It saves rap music for the big companies who are
exactly.
producing Eminem
and
Lil Wayne and the
exactly.
rest.
Exactly.
That's
and that
what
is
it saves.
Structural racism. That is, and that you can't get past
okay,
that.
Guess what I'm saying, Leah?
But Macklemore is saying the right things. He's saying the good things. The white children are hearing the good things. The black kids are hearing the good things from a white mouth. But the thing about it is, it's just like Little Richard. Black people bought Little Richard records, and then along came the other guy, Jerry Lee Lewis, you know? I mean, every time African-Americans create an art form, it is not supposed to stay in one place. It is wonderful. I love what you said about, because I completely believe in the blendings of music mm-hmm. and people listening to different music. What I don't believe in is not recognizing where it comes from. Most deaf, Jay-Z, Common, all these other brothers and sisters and LGBT brothers and sisters who have made these CDs and albums that are incredible are not getting the same access as Macklemore.
Let me really disagree with you there. To say that Jay-Z and Mos Def are not getting the same play, that's
no.
absurd. Of course they are.
No,
but
they're
other,
not.
But they
Jay-Z,
are.
Now, Jay-Z,
they are.
Jay-Z is a different person.
Yeah.
Mos Def and Common, some of these other people out there, Dead Presidents, you know, and folks that they're not getting that. Were they nominated for Best Rap Album?
Jay-Z was.
Okay.
And so was...
It was like one big blur. Like, I think that, like, when I look at award shows like the AMAs and Billboard especially, because Billboard is...
Oh, I didn't know they
sales.
Had an award show.
Yeah, Billboard has
yeah, Billboard
an award
has
show.
Their own award show.
Okay.
Now,
there's... what?
There's shows...
It was Jay-Z and Lil Wayne who were nominated.
On sales numbers, largely. And that's the thing. That's the thing. And that's the power of the dollar. This is America. And this is the thing. This is where I, because I believe in policing yourself so that you don't have to have somebody else come in and police you. That's why I was really upset when a lot of those urban fashion brands sold themselves after they made so many money, so much money. Is this, like, when you're looking at the sales figures, you know, like, I thought it was absurd that Justin Timberlake was even nominated for an R&B album because I don't feel like his album was R&B.
It's a pop album. I've heard It's a pop album.
So that was absurd to me. That was absurd.
Yes.
I just thought that was ridiculous. I was like, where's Fantasia and Kelly Rowland? You know what I'm saying? Like, that would have made
Alexander
more sense.
Alexander Hamilton.
Right.
Which was total soul. You know, we're talking about people that we know about who are very popular, who are not people like Fly By Night or somebody in their basement. But somebody in their basement can create a superstar, a super album right now. Yeah. The world has changed. But Justin Timberlake album wasn't even a soul and R&B album as far as we, the listeners, are concerned.
I agree with you completely.
So, but it's not their fault. It is marketing.
Well, except there's a big difference between some people, because when Justin Timberlake gets up there like he did the other night, and mocked Rihanna's mother's voice when he made his comments.
Ugh, that was ridiculous.
Those things
are ridiculous.
I mean, that kind of stuff to me is pretty vile.
Yeah. Yes, it's vile.
All right?
It's vile.
So what I'm making, there's a difference between how, be made, not made, and what people say and what they do with their lives. And I think that the bottom line is that the record industry, the music industry, I should say, is about their profits and what they think they want to push for their own nefarious reasons, and who they push for their own nefarious reasons, and is the combination of that structural racism you talked about.
Most definitely.
And capitalism together.
That's
that
right.
Create this, what we see.
And when they meet, that's what happens.
And it's so interesting because, like, when you go to these meetings with these labels, like, they look at you as a product. They're looking at all statistics. Like, you being talented is like an extra. You know, I always tell people
you
that.
You have,
like,
nice legs.
Yeah, right. You know, exactly. Like Rihanna. You being talented is extra. They look at how easy you are to work with. And it's so crazy to me because in knowing how the system works, I used to be like, oh, my God, Rihanna, like, you can't sing live, da da da. But in looking at how the game works and the structure, I salute her because it takes a certain level of strength to be able to navigate it, whereas though you transcend color. Because to be able to get 4 covers of Vogue internationally and domestically as a black girl is very hard. Naomi Campbell is the only other black woman that gets that.
But this is a different...
Let me comment that came in. This is one.
I got a comment too.
Facebook page, and then we have...
Here.
Also, before we end this show, I want to stop... we had another comment about Ruby Glover that came in. I want to read the end of the hour.
Okay, wonderful.
But Garland Thomas writes in, mainstream commercial rap music is no longer controlled by the black community. It's controlled by capitalism. It's controlled by the spreadsheets of Universal, Sony, and Warner. These companies control what goes into the marketplace, and the only thing that they allow in the marketplace is what makes them money. I love The Roots, Common, and Mos Def, and they have strong white followings, but that does not, 1 second here, folks, almost done here, but that does not, I can't get to the bottom of this thing, but as soon as I can get down here, I will, but anyway. But they have strong white followings, but that does not sell in the marketplace. So, I mean, basically he was saying what we were saying earlier.
Right. That's exactly it. It's like when Colonel Sanders, Colonel Sam.
Yeah, you know? Right the first time. Right. You're right the first
Colonel
time.
Sanders, yeah, he did the same thing, right? But when Elvis's manager, Sam, said, if I could find me a white boy that sounds like a black boy, I could make me millions of dollars playing and singing the blues, okay? But I got to find me a white boy. He found Elvis. And what did Elvis do? Elvis is now the king of rock and roll. What is rock and roll? It's blues. Rock and roll made millions when people didn't even have millions, you know? It changed. It was African-American music. He learned in the juke joints, you know? So it is about capitalism and it's about structural racism. Because if we didn't have structural racism, you couldn't be making millions.
Can we just hear, one of the people who didn't win was another artist like Macklemore who came up.
Oh, I hope you're not putting up Rihanna.
No. Lamar.
Kendrick Lamar, yeah.
Oh, Lamar, yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of this and come right back to our conversation. Finally made decision to hold me against my will. It was like a head-on collision that folded me standing still. I can never pick out the difference and grade a cop on the bill. Every time you clock in the morning, I feel you just want to kill all my innocence while ignoring my purpose to persevere as a better person. I know you heard this and probably in fear, but what am I supposed to do when the blink and the red and blue flash from the top of your roof and your dog has to say roof and you ask, lift up your shirt cause you wonder if a tattoo of affiliation can make it a pleasure to put me through gang fouls. But that don't matter because the matter is racial profile. I heard them chatter, he's probably young, but I know that he's down. Step on his neck, it's hard as your bulletproof vest. He don't mind, he know we never respect the good kid, Mad City. Good kid.
Yes.
Kendrick Lamar.
I just had a comment come by my way that said, Lamar, he's one of my favorites, actually, and I'm not a huge hip-hop person. I'm hip-hop from Public Enemy. Okay, yeah. I'm from that day, from the Wu-Tang, you know, I'm from ODB and all those folks. I'm telling my age, baby, you were three.
The golden age.
That's what, yeah. It was about fight to power.
Yeah.
That's right. I know I drove my little three-year-old son crazy. He was walking around, fight to power, fight to power. But I just got a wonderful text. I really like that. I really like the young man who is talking, the guest who is on. You're on point, and also corroborating that it is definitely a structural racism and capitalism issue.
Yeah.
DDM, thoughts about we've just been talking about, besides thoughts about yourself?
We'd like to hear more about yourself. I would love to hear about it.
I mean, from a, like, as far as Macklemore is concerned, I feel like Macklemore, like, and I got to go back to Suzanne Collins because she just made my life so much easier with those books. Macklemore is playing his angle correctly. He's playing the perfect angle. It's a great story. Starts out indie, you know, makes a big splash off thrift stores. We haven't had an artist in mainstream who is like kind of like for the everyday regular people.
Who are politically aware.
Right.
It's the perfect package.
A great story.
And
every artist is sold. And when you look at the marketplace, I always tell artists, fill a hole. Okay, you have certain people that when they look at the board and it's okay, mm-hmm. it's the Hunger Games. We got 24 tributes. Okay, right. You got Rihanna who's representing fashion, Grace Jones, Black Girls Are Back. You got Beyonce who's America's sweetheart. You got Jay-Z who is the representative of Black men in power. Mm-hmm. That one representative. It's just like I tell people, Idris Elba's the new Denzel. Denzel's getting old, so we need a new one. Okay. The game makers do that. So Macklemore is the new. We haven't had that feeling in a while. So guess what, kid? You're next. And guess what, kid? We're not going to sign a gay rapper, but we need to address it. So how about you make this song and we're going to make this song?
That's a good point.
That's a great point.
That's a good point.
And he made that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said, he went out there and said, I know what's going on. He said, the parents let their kids listen to me and I cuss just because I'm white and I'm not gay. So they let me do it. He's clear about what's happening.
Because there are gay rappers out there. I mean, and there are gay, touche. And there are gay rappers who are telling their own stories.
And they only get the
made such a good point, this young man. It's the box filling. Macklemore fits the comfort zones. Because he fits a comfort zone, he's allowed to say more.
Yeah.
He can say protests. He can talk about these things. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But the little kids in suburbia may not be as comfortable with someone that doesn't look like me and may not share my same sexuality or gender.
We're almost out of time. Papa Wabe wrote in, it's good reasoning, same thing with reggae music. How does Snoop Lion get a Grammy nomination for Best Reggae LP?
It's the same thing.
Right? Sabi says.
It is. Oh, you should look at the blues categories. It's unbelievable. Susan Tedeschi wins Best Blues Album. You know, when I'm out here listening to the most amazing blues people, I mean, across the board, but she's a comfort zone. You know, Susan Tedeschi and Trucks, that's her husband. And I went to see them. But it's not that these people are not talented.
Well, they're really talented. She's really talented.
You know, they're not talented. They are exceptionally talented. But when you put them next to other people, are they the most talented?
Well, that's
most deserving.
But that's a subjective. You know? But that's a subjective category.
Of course, it's subjective. You know? It's all subjective. But if I'm listening to, I'm telling you, if I'm listening to Shirley Jones sing the blues, and I'm listening to Susan Tedeschi, I close my eyes and I don't know what color either one is, I know what I'm going to choose.
So that note, we have to end. And let me just end this way, Leah. First of all, this has been a very intense and lovely conversation.
I love when
you co-host. DDM, it's been a pleasure to have
DDM,
you on our show today.
You're excellent. Thank you, young man. Thank you.
Let me go out very quickly.
I wanted to hear him rap.
We are going with DDM right now. Yeah. But Scott Johnson wrote in. I have to read this. You know, I loved Ruby. I'm a Ruby lover last hour. I loved Ruby for over 30 years, and we talked frequently. I admired and respected her clear sense of history and the importance of recognizing the masters in our midst, as well as those who came before. She was living history. She knew more about jazz and Baltimoreans who contributed to that history of jazz than anyone else I knew or know now. Yes. And she knew and performed with many of them. She was always smiling and always able to cut through the anxieties of the moment and make you feel good, whatever you were doing and trying to do. She was always doing and always trying to do something good. In the 1970s, Ruby's daughter Ira, another excellent singer, performed while for my band, Both Worlds. Great show. Thanks, Mark. From Scott Johnson.
Wonderful. Thank you, Scott.
So
thank you.
That was
what a beautiful letter.
Wanted to let you hear that before we walked out of here. Yeah. We're going to go out a little via song.
Oh, really?
Something off of you, DDM. Yes. Romani, as we go out, once again, my dear friend, colleague.
Love you
too, baby. Leah Gilmore, once a month, you got to make it more. We always have so much fun on the air together, whether we agree, disagree, there, this, and that. It's always the best way to go. And let me remind you on the way out of the door that the Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Henry and Stephen Mavronis. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our intern is Tashira Smith. To hear this show again, podcast past shows, find out about the work that Leah Gilmore is doing, about Ruby Glover, about DDM, go to our website at steinershow.org. It'll all be right there.
Come to the concert Saturday.
Go to creativealliance.org, and you can listen to and podcast all of our programs on iTunes, Republic Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner.
I'm Leah Gilmore.
Take care.
Bye-bye.